Let's see your Bibles tonight. Amen. Listen. Amen. Word. Word. And thanks for coming back, Leticia. Go home and enjoy your husband. She's been here all day. Actually, she left, and we saw her. We were at a party this afternoon for the baby dedication. I said, can you come back tonight? She said, okay. So she went home, and so I appreciate you coming back. And we're definitely going to have her back. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. When I was in high school, we had a pep rally. We had a contest of who can sell the most tickets to the pep rally. And it was $1 a ticket. So I took it, I took that as definitely a competition. It was a competition, so I figured I want to win the competition. And I'd been there 7 years, so I figured I knew everybody. So I went around and I won the contest. So when I went to the pep rally, it was a night thing, a night competition thing. And I was, wondering how they were going to honor me and give me whatever they were going to give me. And I go to the pep rally and I'm, walking around and doing this and that. And I noticed that there was a mule in the gym. We were the Malvern Mules. Malvern Mules. I never seen a mule in the school before. And there was a mule in the gym. Everyone's wondering, what's going on with the mule? Well, when it came time for me to be honored, they put me on top of this mule. As you want to imagine, 5'11", 155-pound, big old afro, looking like a blow-pop type of brother, on this mule. And they put me on the mule, and they pulled me around the gym. And at first, I'm thinking, yeah, I want to cut this. But after about 3 seconds, I'm like, this is not good. I'm trying to wave and act like, how you doing? I look real stupid, don't I? Real stupid. And by the time we got around to the other side of the gym, I realized that the mule actually was me. They made me look like a fool, But that little mule, when he walked in the gym, he was a donkey, right? When he walked out, he was a hero. What I want to tell you, the story I want to share with you today is about a mule, a little donkey, a colt, that had no notoriety before Jesus got his hands on him. When Jesus got his hands on him, now we all read about him every year. Friday, Jesus is going to be crucified. Thursday is going to be the Last Supper. Friday, he's going to be crucified. And Sunday, he's going to rise from the dead. But today, he rode into Jerusalem for the last time on a donkey. And that donkey was a donkey we're going to see no one ever used before. That donkey, no one ever knew about it. But on this day, Jesus decided, I'm going to use this donkey. In one of the biggest days of my life. My challenge to you today is that you would allow God to use you in one of the days of his life. That he would pick you and take you out of obscurity and make you something important in his kingdom. Today that you would decide to do that. That you would say, Lord, use me. Amen? Show me your purpose for me. Matter of fact, your homework, you have your bulletin, you have a little stonework. If you look in your bulletin, there's a little thing called stonework on the column. On the side, and it's your homework. Your homework this week is going to be to pray and to write down God's purpose, that you think God's purpose is for you. And his purpose is going to evolve. It's going to become more clear to you as years go by. But I want you to begin to identify, this is how God wants to use me. There was a television show a long time ago called Mr. Ed. I don't know if Mr. Ed still comes on. A horse is a horse, of course, unless the horse can talk, of course. If the horse can talk, of course, the horse is Mr. Ed. Is that the song? Okay. I was trying to ask my wife that, and she was like, I never heard. I don't remember that part. She started singing all this other stuff. I was like, no, you got the wrong show. Mr. Ed was a horse, and he was special because he had special talent. The title of my message is Mr. Ed. And I want you, when you write down how God's going to use you, you are going to attain to Mr. Ed status. Where you are not just going to be another horse in the stable. You're going to be a very special, specifically designed and used person for God. Amen? Let's read the story. Verse 28, Luke 19. When he had said this, He went up on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, and where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who went were sent away, went their way and found it just as he said. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said, why are you loosing it? The colt. And they said, the Lord has need of it. Then they brought the colt to him, to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt and set Jesus on him. And he went, as he went his way, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he now was drawing near the descent of Mount Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, saying, teacher, rebuke your disciples for saying those things to you, calling you the King. But he said, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as they drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace. Here's what's going on. Jesus lived 33 years. For 30 years, he was a carpenter, had a business, regular guy. And at the age of 30, he was baptized, and he had three-year ministry. In that three-year ministry, he did miracles no one ever did. He taught things no one ever taught. And he also accepted the worship of God, as he did here, claimed to be God. They all knew that. And so there was a death sentence for his life. They were going to kill him. And he knew that. Everybody know they're going to, when next time we find Christ, we want to kill him. So he's getting ready to go into the city for the last time. And you would think if there was a death sentence for him, that he would sneak into the city. But no, what does he do? He gets a colt and he rides in so everybody can see him. I mean, he's a bold brother. Here I am. And not only did he ride in so everybody could see him, but he rode in on a colt. And riding in on a colt was his symbolic way of saying, I am a king who've come in peace. If a king came back from war, he would ride in on a horse. But he came in on a colt saying, I'm a king who've come to bring peace. So he was making a big statement here. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Zechariah 9:9, let me read this to you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So he's fulfilling prophecy again. And he's coming in on a donkey. Everyone sees him. He's saying, I'm the Messiah. And he's coming in. But look what he says in verse 30. He says, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one ever sat. Loose it, bring it here, and if anyone asks you why you loosen it, say because the Lord has need of it. There's four or five things I want to look at in this colt, and these four or five things I want to relate to you and me. Because guess what? God is going to relay his gospel through people to people, just like you and me. He's not going to talk through this colt. He's going to use this colt to ride in. But God looks at you and me as much more important than this colt. And he wants to speak through you and me to get other people saved. As we approach Good Friday, how many people think they're going to make it down to the Humphreys? Just as a little, okay, great. It's going to be a good time. We're going to bring the gospel down to the Humphreys. But on Sunday, Easter, on Easter Sunday, more people go to church on Easter and Christmas than any other days. Because they figure, well, this is the day I'm supposed to go. So all those people you've been praying for, witnessing to, this is when they will go. This is when even the heathens will go, well, yeah, I guess I'll go. Everyone else is going. So bring them to church this week. Say, God, use me somehow to get people to church, whether it be 7 o'clock over there, 10:30 in here, or 7 o'clock at night over there. That, we're going to have fun. But bring them to church. God wants to use you. So here's this donkey. Let's look at the thing. First, it says, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, verse 30, you will find a colt on which no one has ever sat. First thing I want to tell you is that God had a predetermined arrangements with this donkey and the owner. He had a predetermined purpose. The Bible says in Genesis, in the beginning, the Lord created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of time. Not in the beginning of existence. But time. What does I mean by that? That in the beginning, God started the clock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. And then he created stuff. But let me tell you something. Before the clock started, God existed. for an eternal time. Do you know that? That's pretty deep. Come on now. God was flying around, getting worshipped and honored for whoever knows how long, and one day he decided, let's create stuff. Start the clock. Boom. Are you with me? So we're in that time. Time started here. It ended here. God lives outside, exists outside of that. Can't fathom it. We can't fathom it. Let me read a verse to you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen very closely to this. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he, watch this, chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before he said tick-tock start, he knew you. And then it says that we should be holy and without blame before him, having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure and his will. You know what that means? That before God started time, before he made the heavens and the earth, when he was way over here, he knew you. That means I don't even know what was out there, but it was beautiful. It had to be. He don't make junk. So he had everything that he was, wherever he was, doing whatever he was doing. Before he created even time, he was thinking about you. He was thinking about the rock. He was thinking about people who were getting saved. That's out there. That's how I was. My son wanted to go see the movie Mission to Mars. So, you know, me and my wife took him. My daughters were at camp, so we had one kid in the house for 5 days. It was a trip. Had one kid. It's like, you know, we just get rid of him. Just have to get rid of one. Just go outside. And we can have peace. We love our kids. It's very, very sad because my wife and I were talking about when they're gonna leave the house. And how sad it's going to be when they grow up and leave. And she's getting all teary-eyed. And, you'll still have me, though, baby. You'll still have me. She's like, please. So we took him to the movie. And then we went out to Hometown Buffet. Isn't Hometown a good place to eat? Hometown is the bomb, okay? People be walking out of Hometown mad because they be hurting. They be like, oh, people, if you ever go to Hometown, next time you go to Hometown, look at people's faces. They be happy. They be like, oh, I can eat. Anyway, we go to the movies. Nobody's in the movie. Nobody. We were the only ones. I'm not exaggerating. We were the only people sitting in seats. And at the very end, 5 minutes before it ended, people walk in, like two couples. So we're sitting there and watching the movie, and the people go to Mars. They go 8 trillion miles. They land. It was, you know, Hollywood stuff. And they go into the spaceship in Mars. There's a Martian there. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. And the Martian is this big, tall, thin, peanut head looking, you know, long fingers, three fingers, just real long. And the Martian showed the humans how creation happened. The Martian opened up her hand, and this little DNA thing came out, and she threw the DNA up into these little spaceships, and the spaceships went all over the universe and planted life. And it hit the planet Earth, and then an amoeba formed, and the amoeba became a frog, and a frog became a cow, and a cow became a buffalo, and a buffalo became you. This is in the movie. So the humans are going, wow, you know, that's where we came from. That's what we have in common. And so then one of the Martians, he wanted to go with them, and he did. And so, you know, they lead you up to this. So it's a big evolution. That's not how it happened. Ain't how it happened. I don't know if there's Martians or not. All I know is there's peoples, and there's God, and there's angels and demons. That's all I know. And I don't even care if there's Martians. I just know there's God. I got enough problems dealing with people. Amen? I mean, we got some weird people. You know what the Bible says? Before God created the earth, before God designed you, he knew you. Over here, when there was no time. And just like this little donkey out here is sitting here. And God, Jesus says, go get that donkey. I planned him to be there waiting for me today. That's deep. Second thing it says, look what it says. Find a colt on, verse 30, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt on which no one ever sat. You know what he says? No one's ever used this donkey before. This donkey's been sitting there like this. People walk by, he's like, you want to ride? You want to ride? No one wants to get on him. For years. I don't know how old he was. Don't tell us how old he was. He's been sitting there. No one ever wants to use him. You know what God said? I want to set him aside just for me. Don't get on him. Just for me. You know, in the Greek language, the word for holy means set aside for one purpose. I grew up in a Catholic school, Catholic church. Went to Catholic school for 8 years. Wore a green suit every day. Plaid tie, penny loafers, the whole nine. They had the nuns hitting us in the head. All the stuff. I learned to fear God in that Catholic school. I learned to respect God in that Catholic school. But when we was going to the Catholic church, you would go in and there'd be these big, gigantic doors. Big, like this thick of wood, metal, and you would open it up. And before you would go in, you would dip your hand in holy water and you would do this. I never knew for 8 years I went to school there what the holy water was. Why it was holy. I would take it and do this. What can I drink this? If I drink, will I glow? I didn't know what it was. Come to find out, years after I got out of Catholic school, that water was the water that they would baptize the babies in. And so when you did it, you would take your hand and almost go through a ceremonial baptism, which is pretty cool to me. That's my opinion. I thought it was pretty neat. I never knew that. I wish they would have told me that when I was a kid. But you know what? The reason that water was holy is because they took water, H2O, and they prayed and said, this is going to be the baptismal water. They set it aside for one specific purpose. And what God did with this donkey, he said, nobody use it because it's for me for this day. You know what God wants to do for you? He wants to take you out of your old life and use you for something very specific. Now, because this donkey had no other experience, because this donkey had no other training, he had no preconceived ideas of what it would be like to have someone on his back, even though, you know, innately he might have known, I don't know. God wants to use you. Even though you have experience in wrong stuff. Amen? Amen. Only half of y'all say amen on that. We have experience in lying. We have experience in premarital sex. We have experience in drugs. We have experience in cheating. We have experience in being prideful and phony. Can I get an amen? Amen. If I didn't mention yours, we got experience in that too. So you're not one like that's never been used. Some of us been used and abused. Amen? Amen. But the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, the Bible says if you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Cleanse you of all the junk and make you new. Whenever I do a talk on sexual purity, I always have kids come up to me and ask me, because I hammer home being abstinent, being pure. And then at the end, they always say, but what if I did this? What if I did that? God can forgive you and cleanse you and make you like new. The Bible says if anyone's in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. That God can even erase your mind, memories, and desires, stuff you used to do. I've been on a couple of diets to try to gain weight. Actually, just to try to be more healthy. And I have tried to gain weight all my life. I can't. It's very hard for me to gain weight. But I like to eat sweets. I like chocolate, cakes, cookies, donuts, ice cream. Amen? I love that stuff, right? So whenever I go on this diet, or whenever I talk to my nutritionist friends or my health nut friends, they always say, if you start eating right, you're going to lose your taste for that stuff. And I'm like, man, that's messed up. It's jacked up. Because I always ask, whenever I talk to my nutritionist friends, I always say, can I eat this? And how often can I eat ice cream? How often can I eat junk food? Because I really don't want to stop eating that. I really don't. I don't want to eat it. So I want you to tell me how much I can eat and still be healthy. They said, look, if you do the right thing, you're not going to want to eat that stuff. And I'm like, well, I really don't want to go that far. I want to be able to eat it and be healthy. But you know what? If you do stop eating the wrong thing and start eating the right thing for a period of time, you will lose the taste for it. You will lose the appetite for it. You know what Jesus does? When you get saved and when you let him take over your life, all the appetite for sin goes away. You don't want to curse anymore. You don't want to drink anymore. You don't want to get high anymore. Having sex before marriage, you say, how come I don't feel right with this anymore? You won't even like to watch television shows where people do it. Not movies. Television shows. That's junk. God will start to purify your appetite. The old will be gone. And the new will come. He will give you new desires, new passions, new interests, new talents. New talents. He says, look, no one's ever sat in this. And guess what God wants to do? He wants to take you out of your old life and make you totally new and begin all over with you. And give you abilities you never had before. When I went through this whole study and I had all my points down. And then last night I said to my kids, we're going to go through this. Matter of fact, my daughter asked me for some ice cream. And I said no. So she went into her Melrose place. The whole drama thing. I said, okay, drama queen, if you don't knock it off, you're going to bed. Okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. I said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through this, and I want you to pick out all the qualities and characteristics of this donkey. And if you get them all right, I'll give you 1 teaspoon of ice cream. So, I didn't say 1 teaspoon. I said they can have it. And she can eat some ice cream, like bowls like this big. And my daughter is 14 years old. She's like 90 pounds. And she can eat some ice cream. So anyway, we started going through all this. They started getting them right. Never been used. Da-da-da-da-da. And then they said, which is one I did not get. They said that this animal was able to carry Jesus wherever he wanted to go. It wasn't an animal that he was going to get halfway and say, I'm tired. It wasn't an animal that was going to go too slow, too fast. He wasn't going to be too weak or too dumb, go left, right when he's supposed to go straight. He was an animal that could deliver. I was like, that's pretty good, kids. I'm going to give you 2 bowls of ice cream for that one. When God picks you to do something, don't ever question whether you could do it or not. When God told Moses, go talk to Pharaoh, Moses says, who are you? Who am I? What if they don't listen? Moses says, I stutter. I can't talk. He says, I'm the one who made you stutter. Whoa, why are you going to send me then? He says, because I want Pharaoh to hear it 10 times over. He says, don't ever think that what man looks at as a handicap is for a handicap to me. I made you that way. I made you loud. I made you quiet. I made you interesting. I made you boring. I made you tall. I made you short. I made you thin. I made you wide. Whatever it is, that's how you are. Guess what? The outward appearance means nothing. What means something is that I sent you. If God sent you, nothing else matters. You would be amazed at the people that you would see that are movie stars and all is famous. And when you see them, you can say, you know what? They're just like me. I was in Canada last week. And matter of fact, did you guys enjoy Sean Mitchell last week here at the church? How many people in this place here were not here last week? Just raise your hand. Okay, great. Okay. I was in Canada and Michael W. Smith was there. And Michael W. You guys know who Michael W. Smith is? And Michael W. Smith is a singer. And me and him are becoming friends. That means that we're becoming closer friends. So he says to me, Miles, look, I got a church on my property. He has a church on his house. He has a barn. He says, we have a church. I want you to come speak at my church. I says, well, Mike, look, I got to check my schedule. Mike is the nicest dude in the world. If you ever saw him, you'd be like, this guy is a nice dude. Now, he's big time, but he's not. He got 5 kids. When you have 5 kids, you can't be big time. But I said, Mike, look, I want to come to your church, but I want you to come to mine. And he says, let's do it. Let's do it. So one day we're going to have him here singing. It's going to be fine. But you know what? When you meet people, you're going to realize this is a guy who's made, I don't know how many millions of records he sold. He doesn't even read music. He don't even read. He just hears it. Gets guitar, piano. I don't know what else he plays. I just seen him play guitar and piano. He just, hey, God just told him, start doing it. He's made all these records. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. And don't you ever say what you can't do. That is not God's language. That's the devil's language. And this donkey, he said, guess what? This donkey can do exactly what I need him to do. The Bible says that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. In my family, I have two brothers and two sisters. I'm the second oldest. I have an older sister, and everyone else is younger than me. And when we all get together, I am not the funny one in my family. I sit in the corner and laugh at everybody else. Matter of fact, my father came and saw me speak, I probably first time 7-8 years ago. And he said to me, you know, you're funny. I said, Dad, I'm hilarious. You didn't know that? He says, when did you get funny? And he looked at my mother, he looked at my brother, he said, when did Miles get funny? And they were all like, he's never been funny my whole life. In my house, I've never been funny. Isn't that something? When I go, they all look at me. And my brother called me up and says, Daddy said you were funny. When did you get funny? Because my brothers are hilarious. And my older sister, hilarious. Me, I'm just a regular guy. So I sit there and they make me laugh. You know what God said? All your life you've been like this. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you like this. That's a trip. I know it's hard you believe because I am a very funny guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm so funny, I can make you laugh without even talking. See? Look what it says. Verse 30. That boy is so arrogant. It says, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. And look what it says. Loose it and bring it here. Everyone say loose it. Say loose. Loose. It. Loose. It. I have a class that I teach called spiritual development or spiritual maturity or spiritual formation. Same thing. And it talks about how people develop as Christians and how they mature. And I use the illustration of a tree. If you took a little seed, like let's say a seed to an oak tree was this big, just so you could see it, round. You put it in the ground. When you put it in the ground, the seed eventually, the shell dies and it breaks off and roots start to come out. And then the tree starts to grow, the seedling comes up through the ground and it grows up and for 100 years it grows to be very big. Strong leaves, branches, everything. What happens is, this tree is a mature tree as long as it's growing. If it's this tall, it's a mature 3-year-old tree. If it's this tall, it's a mature 5-year-old tree. Whatever stage it's in, it's mature as long as it's growing. Now, one of the qualities of growth is that it loses its limitation. In other words, you have this shell, and when it's a seed and has a shell on it, the limitation is the shell. It has the whole tree inside of it. When the shell breaks off, what's on the inside is able to come out. Are you with me? And then the branches grow out, and then a branch grows out, and then the branch looks like a stick, but then all of a sudden, out of the side of that branch, another branch will come out. It loses the limitation, what's holding it in. What Jesus wants to do for you, He wants to set you free because what's in you through His Holy Spirit, what's in you is the potential to do stuff for Him. But if you are scared, or if you have a lack of faith, or if you have doubt, or you're hesitant, you are going to back off. God wants to set you free and loose you. Do you understand what I'm saying? When that donkey was standing there for however long, watching all these other donkeys give people rides, they get money for it, they get food. All he had to do was sit there, and those guys came and took the rope and said, we're going to let you free. Come on. They untied him. And you know, he started going, yeah, I'm ready to go, boy. And they said, we're taking you to the Lord. He's like, that's right, that's right. He says, now I can do something. I can be a donkey. I can be a donkey. Do you know that? A lot of y'all in your life today, you are taking the classes you are taking. You have the job you have, and you're dating or not dating the person you're dating or not dating because of your lack of faith. In other words, you might want to think about that person you're with and go, you represent my lack of faith. Maybe you don't want to do that. You just want to think that. But you know what? If you're in a bad relationship, and especially if you're in a relationship who's not someone who's not bringing you to the Lord, that is a fact, and you need to act on that. You may be in a class, and you may be taking a class because you don't have confidence in your intelligence to take a harder class. You may have a job and be accepting minimum wage or lower pay because you don't have the confidence to ask for either a raise or to be challenged to get a better job because you don't have faith. You may be sitting out there thinking you should be up here. And maybe you should be up here, but you don't have faith to go out and start sharing on the corner. You want to go right to the top. We had all these people sign up for the choir. If I get my numbers right, it cut in half. Some people say, I want to sing, and then I got to go through. I don't want to. Forget it. And matter of fact, the whole Rockhead thing, all these people signed up, and people just started falling off. Why? Whatever. Did God call you or not? If he called you, you need to go. Don't be saying, well, I got to go through all this. Let me tell you something. There's no quick way to where God wants you to get to. There's no quick way. You got to go step by step by step. Step by step. People come complaining, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. What did God tell you to do? God told you to go to first base first. I want to go right to home. Well, go home then. Got to go to first base. Then you got to wait for the right pitch to go to second base. Then you may get picked off if you don't watch out. Do you know what God said? What God wants to do is he wants to show you what he wants you to be, and he wants to give you the faith to be it. Somewhere in your life, you got to say, Lord, I'm ready to surrender because my fear, my doubt, my low self-image, my low self-esteem, I'm looking at me. All that stuff is just keeping me in this little box. And God wants to set you free. He wants to fill you with his power. He wants to cleanse you of your sin and all this junk that you're thinking about every day. And he wants to fill your mind with positive, biblical thoughts, biblical desires, biblical power to do what he has called you to do. To do what he has called you to do. There was a time in my life when I would never go speak in public because I was scared to death. I said, I'm not a speaker. Imagine that. Can you just imagine me walking around working anywhere else? Imagine if I was a stockbroker or anything, even making a whole lot of money, having a big house, saying, well, you know, I feel like God called me to preach, but I don't know how to speak. You know what? There are people doing that. They should be doing something else. And it's because they have not really been set free. Jesus said in John 8:31, let me read it to you. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What? The truth shall set you free or loose you to become what God has called you to become. Like never in my life before is God telling me, go. My God is telling me, Miles, you are 40 years old. There is no second chance after this one. Let's go. All that stuff we've been talking about for years, let's do it. I made a commercial the other day, and it's going to be on Channel 15, PAX, and then MTV. You could just spend $1 million putting yourself on TV. But the PAX commercials were like $5. Can you believe that? We got such a discount, $5 a commercial. We made it. Of course, we paid for that. But we got Channel 15 all week long from Tuesday to Sunday. And it's a very 30-second commercial inviting people to Easter. And I'm just telling them, challenging them with questions like, why do people abuse their kids? Do you really think money's going to answer all your problems? You think because you have sex with me, he loves you? All these questions and saying, you know what? What are all these people looking for? Come and I'm going to tell you. And it's Easter. You know, it's very simple. And we're going to be making these. I'm so excited because all you got to do is make it, call the station up, put it on, and you can say anything you want. You can. Oh, my goodness. Wait till I get comfortable with this one. You know what God said? Let's go. Why not?
Well, what about this?
Why not?
Well, what about this? You know, those whatabouts don't exist anymore.
God says, I want to set you free. God wants to set you free. The first thing you got to do is you have to accept the fact that you're not free. The Bible says when you're a sinner, you are a slave to sin. You are shackled to sin. You cannot stop sinning. But when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, he makes you free and free indeed to not only say no to sin, but to say yes to him and to become the person he created you to be. The last thing, look what it says, verse 30. Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it, bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you loosen it, you shall say, because the Lord has need of it. God knew where this colt was. He knew that the colt was tied up. He knew that the colt didn't have any experience. He knew everything about the colt. He knows everything about you. Where you go, what you think, who you hang out with, what you watch, what you dwell on. He knows all that. You know what he says? I want you to go tell him that colt, I need it. I want to borrow the colt. You know, the Bible tells that Jesus preached from a borrowed boat. He rested in Lazarus' borrowed house. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He ate Passover in a borrowed room. And he rode in on a borrowed coat. He wants to borrow you. Imagine one day you're sitting at home and you hear a knock on the door. You open the door, the Lord's there. And you go, oh my God. He goes, yeah, that's me. What's up? You're like, ooh, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. Could you just let him in? Or would you have to say, Lord, can you hold up for 1 second? I got to go do some stuff. And get the little Playboy channel out of the way. Uh-huh, amen. The little Playboy magazines out of the way. Hide the brewskis, you know what I'm saying? Turn the music, trashy music off. And then invite him in. But if he came in your house and says, you know what, I want to borrow that. Your car. I want to borrow your house. Matter of fact, I want all your money. I want your whole life. What would you say to him? Well, God, you know, I had some plans for that stuff. How long you need it for? You would be saying as fast as you can say it, yes, Lord, take it, please, take it, yes, Lord. Then why do you fight him every day? When he asks you to help somebody, when he asks you to encourage somebody, when he asks you to tithe, when he asks you to serve, why you fight him? You know, if he really wants it, he could take it. He could take it and laugh at you at the same time. And you'd be like, couldn't do nothing about it. He'd be taking it from right in front of your face. You'd be like, ah! And it'd be nothing you can do. But you know what? It feels so much better when you give it to him. The first thing he wants is your heart. He wants your entire life. He wants your problems, your pressures, your sin, your discouragement. Look what it says in verse 41. It says, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept, saying, if you had known even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace. You know what he said? He's riding on a colt. And right before that verse, the Pharisees were yelling at him, telling him not to accept worship that only God can accept. And he cried because he said, all these people are so lost. They're so confused. They think they're going to be happy getting that. They think they're going to be happy getting that. And all they need is me. And it broke his heart. And you know what he looks out in this room? You know what he sees? Two things. He sees a lot of you that know him, but you don't really know him. You ask him to come into your heart, and you're kind of going to church, doing some Christian things, but he's saying, you have no idea really what I want to do. Give me another chance. Give me a chance with all of your day, everything you do. But there's another group of y'all out there. You've never asked him to be in your heart, and you've been playing with God, dodging, bobbing, and weaving. He's been trying to love you. He's been trying to get you, but you don't want to get saved. You don't want to repent. You don't want to admit you're a sinner. Let me tell you something. We're all sinners. I mean, it's really no big deal. You look more foolish saying you're not a sinner. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus is crying. You know what he's saying? I died on the cross. I rose from the dead. I want to forgive you of your sin. I want to set you free to be who I created you to be. I want to loose you. All those inhibitors, all those things that are limiting you, I want to remove them. So the you that I have inside, the Holy Spirit, I want it to blossom. So you can begin to express the love that I have for you and the love that I want to express through you, the gifts that I've given you. But you have to repent. You have to tell Jesus and admit that you're a sinner. You have to ask him to forgive you. You have to surrender your life to him by faith, believing that he's going to love you. If God wanted to make you into a nerd, I don't want to get saved. I'm going to be all corny. You're corny already. Think about it. Think about what you're like when you're not saved. Your life is confused. If God wanted to make you into something bad, he wouldn't wait for you to get saved. He'd just do it. He'd just do it. God wants to do is he wants to fulfill his calling on your life, but you have to repent. So right now, I'm going to ask all you to bow your heads and pray. And I want you to listen very closely. Every single one of you, God knows very well. He knows that you're sitting here. He knows where you live. He knows your struggles and your pain. Every single one of you, God has a plan for you. A plan to bless you, to give you a future and a hope. Every single one of you, no matter how long you've been walking with God, God has even a better plan to improve your life. He wants to set you free from the stuff you know you're struggling with. But there may be somebody in here who's never asked Jesus to be their Savior. You're in bondage. Your bondage is killing you. It's depressing you. It's discouraging you. You're addicted. You cannot shake it. Jesus wants to set you free. If you would like to be forgiven, if you would like to surrender your life to him, if you would like to receive eternal forgiveness, complete forgiveness, in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer with me. Pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong, that it will kill me and send me to hell. But I believe that Jesus loves me, that he died and rose from the dead. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Take over my life. Set me free. As all of our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, to stand up. The Bible says if you're ashamed of Jesus before man, he's ashamed of you before his Father. All your life you've been wondering why you exist. You've been wondering, does God love you? Does he have a purpose for you? All your life you've been searching for love and meaning. And if you prayed that prayer, you're saying to God, God, now I acknowledge that you are what I've been looking for. I acknowledge that I've been lost all this time, but now I am found. I've been a sinner, now I am forgiven. So if you prayed that prayer, all your life you've had to think about this and consider this and wait. And you've made a decision to surrender your life to Christ. So when I ask you to stand, you shouldn't have to wait any longer. So if you prayed that prayer, and tonight you're saying, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want him to forgive me. I want you right now to stand up in your seat and acknowledge that right now. Stand up. God bless you. Good. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Stay standing. God bless you. Good. God has spoken to you and you have spoken to him. So now act on that. Anybody else, stand to your feet. Right now, acknowledge Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Good. Very good. Anybody else? There's no more time to wait. No reason to wait any longer. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Good. Congratulations. Good. 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 Now I'm going to ask all you people who are standing to do one more thing. We want to welcome you to the family of God. We want to congratulate you and affirm that you have done the right thing, the best thing you could ever do. So if you're standing, we don't want you to sit down. We want you to come out of your seat, out of your aisle, right down here to the stage and shake my hand right now. Come on, give me a hand. Come on down here right now. Come on. Congratulations. Stay right there. Stay right there. God bless you. God bless you.
Oh, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
This is warm up for Easter now. You guys got to be praying. There's 4,500 seats out there, times two, plus this room. Whether it's full or not, that's up to God. But you know what? There's something we can do. We can start praying for people. Your boss, your coworker, your student, your teacher. Friday at Humphreys, lunchtime. Right at 11:30. What are you doing for lunch? Come with me. I want you to come someplace. Bring him to Humphreys. It's going to be 60 minutes real quick. Bring him to Easter. You will be amazed at all the people that are going to go to church on Easter that you would never think. Don't ever be scared to ask anybody. Matter of fact, this week, test God. Ask as many people as you can and see what happens. You would hate to be the week after Easter saying, man, I had no place to go. I wish someone invited me to church. And here you are with your little lack of faith mouth. You run your mouth about the Padres, run your mouth about the Chargers, but you don't run your mouth about God. So this week, I want you to be thinking, who am I going to invite? Fill up your cars. This is not your little day to go to church. You go to church every week. Fill your cars up, rent a bus, a van, and bring them to church. Let me tell you something. There was a young lady in the first service. I don't know if she was here now. I met this girl when I first started doing youth ministry. She was in one of the Bible studies at Horizon. She's going to be 29. It blew me away because I remember when she was 16. Haven't seen her since. She's back seeking for God. Let me tell you something. There's nothing out there. There is nothing out there. So invite them. Pray for boldness this week. Amen. Step out of your comfort zone. Let me tell you something. There is nothing bad that can happen to you if you take a step of faith to do what God tells you to do. Nothing. Even if you get fired, God got a better job for you. He got a better job for you. Amen. Now, all of y'all down here, God just untied you from that little pole. You're a little donkey, right? Amen. You are. I mean, we all are. We're donkeys, okay? We're just old, crusty donkeys. You're a new little donkey. And God has untied you. And guess what? He has something for you. He's going to take you by the leash. And wherever he guides you, don't fight him. Because where you've been up to this point, the devil's been taking you. And it's been messed up. Amen? It's been messed up. The people you dated have been messed up. The stuff you put in your body has been messed up. The stuff you put in your head has been messed up. It's all messed up. God wants to wash that away and start over. Trust me. He does. I used to do drugs for 8 years. God said, no more. Okay, no more. Gave me a saying. Enabled me to keep somewhat of a sane mind. Even through that, God could erase it and make you totally new. This is the book we read. This is the only one book that God made. Okay, he wrote one book. It agrees with itself. He didn't make this book, that book, and they all contradict. He made this book. And there's one responsibility you all have is to obey God. That is it. The reason we go to church, the reason we baptize, the reason we take communion, the reason we pray is because God told us to. It's out of obedience. Your job, your responsibility is to learn what to obey. Our job is to help you figure out what that is. Amen? We're going to take you in the back. Now listen, when we walk down this aisle, I'm going to ask all you to not move. We've been losing people in the first couple services because people want to leave. It's about 30 people up here. Let them all get out before y'all start leaving. Amen? Look for the commercials on TV. Bring your friends to services. Let's pray for these people. Lord, we thank you for these people. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would radically change their life, transform their life. Lord, may this week be a week that we would be challenged by you as we look at our homework, that we got to figure out how you want to use us. But if there's one thing I know we all need to do is share the gospel, spread the truth. So this week, may we be prayerfully inviting people to church. May we see record numbers get saved. Record numbers get saved, Lord. You love to see people get saved. You love for people to let go and be set free from the devil and his lies. We love it too, God. That's our passion. So we pray this weekend coming up, we would see hundreds of people get saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All you people down here, we want you to walk this way, and we're going to lead you down. Please don't leave in this aisle or on this side. Don't move. Walk that way. Walk that way. Come on, let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand.